This week's parsha is Parshas Vayikra. It's the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, the third of the Chumash Chumashei Torah. And it's the one that I think we sometimes find a lot of difficulty with. The major topic of the first few parshios, almost half of Chumash Vayikra, is about Korbanos. There's a lot of issues, a lot of concerns, questions, problems that we have halachically, psychologically with Korbanos. I want to address some of those issues. I think it's important for us to understand that Korbanos are a very, very basic concept according to halacha. And I know that there's been a lot of, you know, things written about it. There are many mefarshim who struggle with understanding the use of animals as live sacrifices that we shecht and then put on the mizbeach. What is that all about? It certainly seems to rub us the wrong way. So there's a famous issue that comes up, especially because the person who espouses it was the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim, the guy who's perplexed, which is his philosophical work on Judaism, that he believes that Korbanos was really only given to Bnei Israel as a concession. It wasn't ideal in Hashem's mind. It was a concession because Jewish people for hundreds of years were living in Egypt. We were subject not only to the intense slavery and persecution and the drowning of our children there, but we were also absorbing, unfortunately, the culture there. And the culture of Egypt was a culture of idol worship. We know that very clearly. And so we became a part of it. And the idea, according to the Rambam of Korbanos, was that when Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt, then he says in the pasuk in the Torah, Zoveach l'Elohim yecharam, b'iltil Hashem levado. Sometimes we find that the word Elohim doesn't mean God. It refers to other gods, like Li'elocha Elohim achirim al-panai, the second of the Ten Commandments. Other gods, the false gods, the pagan gods that were worshipped, or the sun, the moon, the stars. And so Hashem says, do not have any other gods, b'iltil Hashem levado, only me. And what did Hashem do? According to the Rambam, he understood that Bnei Israel had become so accustomed to the idea of sacrificing to gods and worshiping them by bringing korbanos that it was something that you could not easily take them away from. And so what Hashem did was to simply try to redirect what they had become so accustomed to doing. If you're going to use sacrifices, the way you saw the Egyptian society, this pagan society, was offering sacrifices to their pagan gods, I will allow you to use sacrifices, but built to Hashem of Adol. Redirect them only to me, exclusively to me. You dare not offer sacrifices anymore to different kinds of idols or pagan gods, or as I said, the celestial bodies like the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so the Rambam is actually articulating the idea that the giving over the sacrifices was Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of trying to somehow wean us off idol worship, and that it wasn't an ideal. And it seems that on that basis, Rav Kook wanted to suggest, and actually seemed to hold that way, that in the ultimate time of the coming of Mashiach in the third base of Mikdash, there won't be animal sacrifices. And that's why he refers to the pasuk that we say in the Hiratzon, Sheibana Beis Mikdash, at the end of Shemon Esrei, three times a day, right? We will serve you as we did. But it talks about V'yavol Hashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yushalayim. It only mentions Mincha. The Korban Mincha is the meal offering, taking flour, grinding it down, turning it, you know, into something that can be baked into some kind of an offering. It's not an animal sacrifice. It's not a bird. It's only the grain that's used to create the flour and to create the, you know, the product. And so Rav Kook daringly suggests that maybe animal sacrifices will actually be eliminated. But that certainly is what we call a das yochid. It's a minority point of view. I once heard Rav Soloveitchik's revered son-in-law, Rabbi Dr. Isidor Tursky, who was a genius, who was the chair of Judaic studies for decades up at Harvard University, and it was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He came from a Hasidic dynasty, the Tona Rebbe, who was his father in Boston, and he gave a lecture in Yeshiva University on this topic, and he spoke about the fact that he believed that when the Rambam wrote the Moreh Nevuchim, a lot of what he wrote was not necessarily his genuine opinion. He was a brilliant philosopher, but he also wanted to create an image of Judaism that would be somewhat more palatable to the rest of the philosophy he's out there. He quotes extensively from the Greek philosophers of Aristotle and Plato and Socrates. And so Rav Tversky suggested that it could very well be that you can't take everything Rama writes in Mona Buchim as being sacred. A lot of it could be what we would call apologetics. He was trying to explain that it was a way to wean the Jews off of idol worship, that God gave us these sacrifices. And he was writing that for outside consumption, not for the Jewish people, not for Jews who are committed to Torah and who believe in Hashem's words of the Torah and the oral law with all of our heart. And so it's not 100% clear that that was the Rambam's opinion. At any rate, there is no doubt that even according to the Rambam, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, it will certainly be a Beis HaMikdash that is filled with the regular sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, the bird sacrifices, just as is mentioned in the Torah and the way it originally was. And that's compelling because the Rambam says that when Mashiach comes, he will be proven to be Mashiach by virtue of the fact that he will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, the final everlasting Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam says that anything that is going to be counted among the 613 commandments of the Torah has to be what Rambam refers to very famously as a mitzvah ledoros. It has to apply for all generations to come. It has to be an eternal commandment. That's how precious it is in Hashem's eyes. And so the thought of the idea that we're going to do away with the animal sacrifices would have meant that, according to the Rambam's own opinion, it would have been impossible to count those sacrifices as part of the mitzvahs that were originally given to us at Har Sinai, 613 commandments. You have the Korban Ola, the Korban Chatos, the Korban Shlomim, the Korban Ashram, and so on. Each one is counted as a separate mitzvah. There are numerous mitzvahs tied to the sacrifices. And if you tell me now that those sacrifices will be discontinued, then according to the Rambam, they could never have been counted as part of this eternal system of 613 commandments in the first place. And so it's compelling that the Rambam did not really believe this idea, and that it was only that he was perhaps saying it for outward consumption. So how do we understand sacrifices? So I want to share with you a very powerful idea that is given to us by the Ramban. The Ramban points out that the idea of the Beis HaMikdash is tied very, very powerfully to an incident which remains for us one of the most powerful merits that we have in the eyes of Hashem. I'm referring to Akedas Yitzchak. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, take this beloved son, your only child that you have such incredible love, boundless love for. They waited for 100 years. Avram was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. It took an absolute miracle that defied all the laws of biology and nature for them to have this child. And then suddenly, when Yitzchak already is grown, Hashem is commanding him, take Yitzchak, tie him down to the altar, the exact spot that I bring you to, and make him a korban olah, completely consumed for me. Avram Avinu was willing to do it, unbelievably, despite the fact that everything about his future depended on Yitzchak living. But if that's what Hashem told him, this was Avram's greatness, by Terod Sonachim of Neirat Sono, you negate your will before God's will, and he was willing to do it. At the very last moment, on that spot, which is the Har HaBayis, with the Mizbeach that Avraham built for the Akedah, is the very place where the Mizbeach for the Beis HaMikdash in the first temple and in the second temple was located, and where the ultimate Mizbeach of the final Beis HaMikdash will again be located. On that very spot, Avram had tied Yitzchak down. He took the knife in hand. He was holding it right at his throat, about to slit his son's throat, to shecht him, to make him into a korban olah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped, screamed at him, Al tishnach yod chal hanah, do not cast your hand against the child, because Ati Yadati, with an I, now I know that you have complete, absolute, unquestioning love and unconditional allegiance to me. And that is the greatest merit that we could possibly have. As a result of Avraham being stopped by Hashem from doing what he was initially told to do, to slaughter his human sacrifice, his son, what did Avram of his own volition do? He looks around, he sees an ayil, a ram that's caught in the bushes, and he takes the ayil and he puts it on the Mizbeach, tachas beno. And that becomes, according to the Ramban, monumentally important. The korban that's used is zeh tachas zeh. What Karbanos represent is that we are showing Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are willing to go to the mat for you. We will do anything and everything you ask of us, unconditionally, even if we totally don't understand it, as Avram surely could not possibly understand how God could be asking him to offer Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. But Karbanos, according to Ramban, become the most powerful merit that we have, because it tells Kadosh Baruch Hu, we are yours. Bateh Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono, as it says in Pirkei Avos, negate your will for his will. Do everything he tells you, even if it's incomprehensible, even if it's so enigmatic and mysterious that we think that it makes absolutely no sense. This is what it means to really be a Torah observant Jew. This, says the Ramban, is the power of Karbanos. And at the end of the Akedah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that because of this chus that Avraham Avinu, the pioneer, the very first Jew, did, that you now will surely inherit this land of Eretz Israel, and you will become the eternal people. There will be no nation on earth that will ever be able to destroy you. That is the power. We love to eat meat, steak, hamburgers, chicken, all the different things that we love and prepare in so many ways that make them true delicacies. We have no compunction about killing animals for our own selves to satisfy our gastronomical needs and desires. If that be the case, I think as religious Jews, we owe it to Hashem and to the Torah and to the philosophy of Judaism that if we can use animals for that, to satisfy our palate, we certainly should have no reservations about the concept of using animals to make the ultimate statement of our allegiance to Hashem. He commands us, if we had to, we would take our own children or ourselves, and how many Jews marched to the altar singing an imamin, and that is what Karbanos represent, the great, absolute devotion of Bnei Israel to our Father in Heaven. Have a wonderful day.